Father in heaven, Lord, I just ask you to be with me right now, Lord, as I bring forth your word. I ask, Father, that you might be glorified and we be edified. I pray, Lord, that this word will go out and strengthen, challenge, and encourage each and every one of us. I pray, Father in heaven, that we all leave here a little bit differently than we first walked in. I give you thanks, Lord. I ask you to bless this congregation. I ask you, Lord, right now, that you will part the heavens and look down upon us, Lord, and bless us. That you will sit with us and be with us, Lord. And as we pour into your word, we ask that your word pours into each and every one of us. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Back in May of 2018, Margie and I went to Disney World. And at that time, she was still on dialysis. So whenever we went on vacation, we always had to find a dialysis unit to take her to because she still had to get her treatments. Well, we found the dialysis unit, and when we got down there that Saturday, I said, let me do a dry run just to make sure that I can find the place and get there in the proper amount of time to get you there on time. So we drove there, and there was a light that I caught. When we drove back, caught the exact same light. The first day of her treatment, going at night, caught that light again. When I dropped her off, I went back to the house, caught that light again. When I went to pick her up, caught that same light again. You see where I'm going with this, right? This light is very germane to the story I'm about to tell you. So now it's the last night that she has to be there, and we're driving down the road, and the road goes from two lanes to one lane. So as I'm moving over, this guy in his pickup truck decides I'm not going to get behind him. He's not going to get behind me, so he revs up and jumps in front of me. I have to slam on brakes and I veer off to the side. I get behind him, and Margie says, "What's wrong with him?" I said, "I don't know, but it's okay. It hasn't been an accident. God was with us, so we're okay." What I did not say was, that light's ahead, and it's always red. So when we get to the light, I'm going to get out of my car, I'm going to get to that guy, I'm going to drag him out of his truck, and I'm going to stomp him. Okay? I've already planned this out. I noticed that His window was down, so I've already planned. I'm going to take his head, bash it against the windshield, pull him out, stomp him. Mind you, it's got to be quick because I have to get it to dialysis on time, so it's got to be quick and it's got to be brutal, okay? And as I drive off and if I hit him, oh, well, you got to break a few eggs to make a good souffle, right? So I've already planned this, and the Holy Spirit is going, "Brian, a soft answer turns away wrath. Brian, turn the other cheek. Brian, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult." I did not care. All I'm planning on is that light straight ahead. It's always red. At some point, the guy turns on his left turn signal and goes left. I can't follow him. I don't know how far he's going off this path. I have to get my wife to dialysis. So I continue on, and yes, the light was red. I drop her off to dialysis, and I get in the car, and I'm very, very angry because I have no place to vent my anger now. The source of my anger is gone. So all I could do was sit in the car and cry. Because I have all this anger. And then a verse pops in my head. I have memorized some verses before, and a verse pops in my head. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I repeated that verse several times. And using the urban vernacular, I came down 1,000. And then I called my friend Maurice, and I told him what happened. And Maurice prayed for me, and he got out his Bible, and he read Philippians 4:8. And then we sang some songs, and then we prayed. I came down even more. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It says, whatever is true, who is more truer than Jesus? Another word for true is faithful. Okay? Who is more faithful than Jesus Christ? He has promised to be with us and to never leave us nor forsake us. And for the loved ones that we have lost that knew him, he was faithful that he came and took them to be where he is also. So what's more faithful than that? It says noble. That's a good name. Who is better than our Savior? Who is more upright than our Savior? It says, whoever is right. That says it itself. Jesus is the most upright person we can think of. He is honorable. He keeps his promises. Pure. Jesus was untouched, unblemished, without sin, spotless, innocent. Lovely. Lovely means attractive. Lovely means he draws us to him. Lovely means we seek him. And finally, admirable, praiseworthy, noble, honorable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about Jesus. That's what this verse is saying. My goal that night was violence. And I'm talking about it was going to be extreme violence. Because that's what was in my heart. But I thought about what was praiseworthy and excellent. I tried to take control of the situation. And God said, I see where you're going with this, Brian. He sent the guy to the left. I couldn't go left. I had to continue on my path. And then when I was in that car, he says, now you're going to think on me. Now that I've got him out of the way, you're going to think on me, Brian. God wants us to have wholesome thoughts and wholesome talk, which leads to wholesome actions. If anything, church, is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is also. Well, where's your heart, church? We've got a lot going on in America right now. Number one, COVID-19. We're having rioting. We're having race wars. We're having civil unrest. We're having an economic crisis I've never seen before. What do we focus on, church? That or whatever is excellent or praiseworthy? Where is your heart? Where is your mind? That's what God wants from you, to think on these things. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to lift each other up. We need to see the Jesus in each and every one of us. We need to compliment one another. We need to sing songs to God, not at 10:15, but every day in your heart. We need to tell other people, thank you for what you've done. Thank you, you've done a good job. Scripture says we need to sing songs and spiritual hymns to one another. Make music to our heart to the Lord. Encourage each other all the more as we see the day approaching. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, church, think about these things. Colossians 3:1-3 says this: since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Did you hear that, church? The moment you believe, the moment you professed your faith, you are now united with the first and second person of the Trinity because of the third person of the Trinity. So where are their minds? Heavenward. And that's where our minds should be also. We've heard through Philippians before, this is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus prayed for all believers, which means everyone in you of in here who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And he said, Father, I am in you, you are in me, and they are in us. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Again, that night, my goal was violence. God's goal was for me not to shame his name. God's goal was for me to glorify him. And that's what he did. I praised him. I gave him honor. I even called another brother, and we did the exact same thing together. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9 says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Whatever you have heard, learned, or seen, put it into practice. We're talking about doing righteous deeds. We're talking about doing righteous acts. And pardon me if I keep looking down, because I don't want to step off this thing, okay? That's my fear about being up here. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He is our barometer. He is our standard. That's who we set our goals upon emulating, okay? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And what did Jesus say? I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many. Basically, Jesus is talking about, I came to sacrifice. And just FYI, giving and sacrifice are not the same thing, okay? If you need 10 bucks, and I have 100, and I give you 10, I'm just giving you money. If you need 10 bucks, and I have 10, I give it to you. That's a sacrifice. And that's what Jesus Christ set an example of us doing. We need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow the example. We've seen here in Philippians, do nothing out of vain conceit or selfish ambition. We need to consider others better than ourselves. That's what Jesus did. That's the example we ought to follow. Excuse me. we have people in this church, leaders in this church, and also members in this church who are very good examples. And they establish a pattern of righteous behavior that we ought to emulate. Because they follow Jesus Christ and we follow their example. We need to always set our minds on things above and not just on ourselves. During the COVID-19 outbreak, when it started in March, a lot of people were isolated. A lot of people hunkered into their houses. A lot of people were afraid, intimidated, coming out, and they had no resources. This church here did not circle its wagons. This church here reached out to those people. This church here sacrificed for those people. This church here gave to those people. Okay? Jesus says, you visit me when I was sick. You visit me when I was in prison. You clothed me. You bathed me. You fed me. And they said, well, when did we do that for you, Jesus? He says, when you did that for the least of these, you did it for me. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. We set our minds on things above, and we think about what is excellent and praiseworthy. And we also learn from one another. We teach one another. We encourage one another. When we see a brother or sister in sin, and I'm going to say this before I go to next, we are our brothers and sisters' keeper, okay? We are responsible for one another because we are the family of God. So when we see a brother or sister in sin, Scripture says we restore them gently back to the Father. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And lastly, why do we think on these things? Why do we follow the examples? It says, and the God of peace will be with you. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you what? An example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's peace, church. That's peace. Christ was in peace during his trial, his beating, and his execution. He was at peace because he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. It said when they beat him, he did not retaliate. When they cursed him, he did not retaliate. When they crucified him, he did not retaliate. The worst thing he said on that cross was, Father, forgive them. Because he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's peace. Jesus had the peace of God. And that's the exact same peace he gives to us. Set your minds on things above where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. and the God of peace will be with you. That night, as I say it again, I meant evil. But at the end of that moment, at the end of that story, I had the peace of God. I wanted to retaliate. I wanted my pound of flesh. I wanted vengeance. But I entrusted to him, trusted myself to him who judges justly, and I had the peace of God. In closing, Jesus says in Matthew, make a tree good. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And then the end of it says, make the tree good. Okay? You notice he didn't say grow a good tree. He didn't say plant a good tree. He said make the tree good. He's not talking about farming here, church. He's talking about us. He's talking about our souls. He's talking about our works. He's talking about our talk. He's talking about our actions. You make it good. You take everything captive to Jesus Christ and present it to him and say, is this good? You make your tree good. There are a lot of trees out there. Wonderful leaves, green leaves, but they have no fruit. Fruit is the evidence of life, not a green leaf. Green leaf. There are many trees that are dying, but they have leaves on them, but they have no fruit. You make your fruit good. You produce good fruit. Why? If anything is excellent or profitable, think about these things. Whatever you see me see or do, or should say him do, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. Thank you. Father in heaven, I truly thank you, Lord, for this word. And again, as I pray, Lord, that we all learn something from this, and we can apply it to our lives, and we live it to bring you the glory that is rightfully and divinely due you, Father in heaven. I pray, Father, there is someone in here that does not know you in the pardoning of their sins. If they have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they are not indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, the Lord, that they will come to you and pray to you, and you will hearken unto them. That all they need to do is believe two things, Christ crucified and Christ resurrected. And through that, they will have peace with you, Lord, and your peace to Heavenly Father. And I thank you and I praise you, Father in heaven, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.